Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a great show headed your way. We haven't been around a lot, but you know, there's not a lot going on this time of year. So like a lot of the guys in the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour, we kind of take some breaks here and there. Holidays are coming up, so we're happy to be here, and we've got a great guest joining us, our good friend Paul Stankowski, to talk about what happened at PGA Tour, the Tour Champions, Q School. It's a lot of initials in there, Q School, and that he was at last week. And we'll talk about how that all played out and what it means to him and some of the other guys that were involved in that. Harrison Frazier is also a guest on our show now and then, was also there at Q School that we've talked to in the past, so we'll get into that a little bit. Also, not official event, but the PNC Championship goes on this weekend. That's where all the fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters and the mix of everybody plays in Florida for a fun couple of days tournament. And Tiger Woods will be playing. Maybe surprising when he made that announcement, because just the week before in Bahamas, he pretty much made a big statement about, I'm never, ever going to play a full tour schedule again. I can't do much. And he kind of acted like it's going to be a while before I can play. And then a week later, he said, oh, I'm going to play in this event. So he may not have to hit too many tee shots. His son gets to play on the up tee. So he says, I'll maybe just chip and putt a little bit. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll talk about that as well with Mr. Stankowski when he joins us. Frank Bassett, as always, in our Nashville studios. How you doing today, Frankie Frank?
I'm doing good. I'm better than you. I hear a bird just flew into your studio. God. And
I've got my home studio just in 10 seconds, and I'm having work done. So I've got everything's everywhere, meaning remodeling kind of stuff. So I have my door open because it'd been dusty and stuff
can't,
in here.
Can't
my dog
hide
is
money.
In here. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of us talking 5 minutes ago, I hear this flutter by my head. I was like, what the? I look up. I thought, I didn't turn the ceiling fan on. I look up, and there's a bird swinging. I go, and luckily, he found his way back out. I opened the door, and he went out. So, yeah, that's how my day has gotten
started. Guff.
So how are you doing?
The guff is empty.
Yeah.
The guff is empty. No more souls to be born on earth. The guff is empty. I'm doing great. PNC Week, hit and giggle. I don't believe it. I think it's a fun event. It's a official PGA Tour Challenge event. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be a fun thing to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing Tiger and his son hitting the drives, and Tiger having to, you know, play his son's drives. Because I think
they
that's what's going
to
happen. Yeah.
It seemed to have a good time, right? I mean, he seemed to have a good time with Charlie, who's what, I think 13, 12?
12. I think he's 12 now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he plays a pretty good game, by the way. Yeah.
Well, Justin Thomas and his dad, strange. Though, you know, they're looking to back-to-back it. And Mike Thomas is a pretty good stick himself. So.
And there's money to be made, right? So make no mistake. These guys.
A few hundred thousand. Yeah.
Yeah. These guys can play a little bit of
pocket
golf,
change, gambling money.
If you're going there, you might as well make some money. John Daly plays with. What is it, Little John?
Little John, who's Big John now.
Not so little.
You know, John's really? In Nashville a lot over at Old Hickory Country Club. We've been over there some together, and he's I've known John forever. So you have too, I'm sure, but I know Stanky has. John's just a great old guy. He's a fellow Arkansan like I am originally. So, yeah, John's a good dude. He loves to sing, play guitar, and
does do that.
But he has one song in his repertoire when he gets on stage, and that's Stairway to Heaven. John, learn another song.
Really?
Yeah.
Every time I've seen him, he plays his All My Exes Wear Rolexes.
Well, he does that too, but we won't go there.
Because he's got it. When he sings it, it's from the heart, because he's got, what, four exes?
It's Christmas. Don't throw him under the bus like that.
It's a perfect song for him.
Anyway. I never slept alone until I got married. Okay, there you go.
And all the other great country songs that we could bring up.
I've got Tears in My Ears from Lying on My Back, Crying in My Sleep Over You by Frank Bassett.
Wow. Holy smokes.
Good song.
Good song. He just wrote it last night.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Hey, let's get to Stanky. Let's see what he's got going here. Paul Stankowski, member of the PGA Tour for a long time, Champions Tour the last, I guess, couple of seasons. But COVID has thrown a big curveball into everybody's golf and Q Schools for both regular tour, the Korn Ferry, as well as the PGA Tour Champions. But the past week in Tampa, Q School for the PGA Tour Champions, and that's where Paul was. We'll find out what happened there with Mr. Stankowski. Paul, how are you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us exactly how, first of all, how many people go, kind of lay the land there, and it was in Tampa, am I correct on that, where Q School is in Tampa?
Correct. It was at TPC Tampa Bay, and there were 79 players.
For how many slots?
Vying for five whole spots.
Wow. And,
yeah, it's four brutal. Rounds of golf. It's a tough tour to crack, but it's good. It's competition. A lot of former tour winners and then some there, and just a lot of really good players as well. So, you know what? Q schools are, they're unique, right? Because it's not like a regular tournament. There's a small purse, but nobody's playing for a purse. They're playing for their job. Whereas, you know, this week, the PNC or any PGA Tour event, they're not playing for a job each individual week. Collectively, right. they might be, but it's Q schools are fun. If you've never done it, I highly encourage you to spend about $5,000 to $10,000 to try. And just see if you can get lucky. I mean, I think getting hit by lightning might be a little bit better odds than getting hit by a card.
The odds aren't good, Paul. I mean, so what was your mindset going there? You've been playing fairly well off and on, as everybody does in the world of golf, and some of the events that you played on the PGA Tour Champions in the last few months. You kind of knew, I guess you knew that. Let me ask you, what did you think the score needed to be? And just to let people know, a club pro from New York, from Glen Arbor Golf Club, Rob Labritz, I don't think many people know him outside of Glen Arbor Golf Club, got the medalist honors. David Bradshaw, Thongchai Jaidi, Roger Rowland, and Tom Gillis were the guys that did get their full exempt tour card. That was it. Out of the 79, those are the guys that got in. 17 under was the winning score. What did you think you would need to do maybe to get the top five?
You know, I honestly had no idea. I'd never played the golf course before going into the week. I did look back at some history, and the last time they played the Q school there was in 2018. And I believe 5 under par won, and 1 under played off. So there's a playoff. So imagine that. Imagine tying for fourth or fifth and going into a playoff, and a guy makes a 30 footer on a hole and you're out. So anyway, but they said the weather was breezy and cool and wet. And so, I had no idea. Golf course was in horrendous condition. The TPC Tampa Bay, I think TPC might be taken away from them because it was awful.
It should be. I hate that golf course.
I love the golf course. The golf course it's got some great holes. The finishing holes are buckle up, buddy.
Yeah. They're
water
tough
everywhere. They're good. And that's, I think it's a perfect golf course.
But it's never been in good shape, Paul. Every time I've played it, it's not been conditioned. And
that's irrelevant. We all had to play. I'm just making a point that it was awful. Worst conditioned golf course ever played a PGA Tour sanctioned event on, that's for sure. I played some bad ones. I grew up Muni, so I played a lot of really real Muni golf courses. But anyway, the conditions are one thing, but the golf course the type of course it is perfect for a qualifier, because you know what, you got to play well, and if you're barely holding on down the stretch, bad things happen in a hurry. That's kind of what I experienced. So but it was good. The field is good. Rob Labritz, he played great golf, and he's a good player. He's played in many, many PGA championships over the years. So he's well known among the PGA professionals, as one of the, one of the best players year in, year out. So, and he played awesome. My hat's off to the guy to go around that golf course, I don't know, 17 or 19 under, something like
17,
that.
Yeah.
And to play really well on the final round. It's always tough to play when you're in the lead or near the lead. And especially if you don't do it all the time, he plays section events. So he might play, I don't know, five to 10 competitive tournaments a year, if you will. And those tournaments sometimes are 2 days. So they're not 4 days. They're not, it's not a test of attrition. Right. And so he played awesome. I played with, TJ Thongchai Jaidi, in the third round. He shot 63 that day. He made 7 threes his first 10 holes. And he wasn't making putts from all over the world either. He was stuffing it. It was really cool to see. And he has a propensity to go low. Roger Rowland shot 30 on the back nine, 6 under par on the last round, which is hats off to him. That's freaking awesome. Tom Gillis, obviously a PGA Tour champions veteran, really good player, and David Branshaw he finished second and played really good golf. He's a really good player as well. Played, I think he played a handful of PGA Tour years, a bunch on the Nike Tour, Korn Ferry Tour. All the guys are obviously they're happy. And Alan Morin, another club pro, finished sixth. And you know, it's heart wrenching, right, to get that close. And it turned out I was with four holes to play. I was tied for fifth with four holes to play, and made three bogeys my last four holes.
Ouch!
I bogeyed 15, hit a bad tee shot, ended up missing a 7-footer for par, and parred 16 from the middle of the fairway. Actually missed the green and got up and down, and then from there I needed to make a birdie or two, and 218 yard par three to a back right hole location with water right. I hit it on the left side of the green, back left fringe, 50 feet, and three putted. And then 18 was got to make it from the fairway and hope and hit it over the green. So, you know what? It is what it is. It was fun to compete. To even get to that position, I made the turn. I hadn't looked at a board. I didn't care what the scores were. I just wanted to go play the hand that was given me there. And through nine holes with nine to play, I just bogeyed the ninth hole, and I, coming off the ninth green, I looked at the website and realized that I was three shots out. And so I'm like, well, let's go shoot four or five under back here and see what we can do. And I birdied 11, 13, and 14, the best three wood of my life, from 240 to a front left pin, water left, and hit it about 15 feet, two putted, but made birdie. So I got it to that eight under number. Still thinking I needed to get to 10, but it's hard, man. It's hard, especially when, like I said, it's different. You're not playing for a paycheck. You're playing for your job the next year. And I fell short again. I fell short the last time in 2019. I missed by two. I bogeyed three of the last five holes to miss by two. So I've got to figure out what's causing this, you know.
Right.
I was nervous in 2019 and I choked. Where I couldn't focus anymore, and that was a mental lapse. And this time around, I was confident. Like I say, I'm on a run. I birdied three of four holes to get to a good number, still needing a couple more or one or two more, and then I went backwards. And I don't want to. I can't blame it on nerves, but there's something. So I'm gonna take a deep dive this off season and try to figure out why, if there's a reason, or if it's just golf. So you guys know, and your listeners know, golf's hard. And, sometimes it feels really easy. And sometimes you're like,
it's a grind.
Why can't I just do this? I just hit the best three wood of my life. And now I hit the worst drive of my life, consecutive shots. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But it's golf, and that's what makes it fun. Right. I use air quotes in fun.
Let me ask you this, Paul, and we're joined by Paul Stankowski talking about Q School for the PGA Tour champions. When you said you started, you're just going to shoot your number, whatever it might be. That's what you're going to do, and not be too focused on what number you had to get to. Did it psych you out when you looked at the leaderboard and saw where you were? Or is that okay to do that? Or would you next time say, maybe I just don't need to know. I just need to go get as many birdies and see where it ends after 18?
Some people would say, I think there are plenty of people who have done both, right? Some players choose not to look, and at the end, it bit them in the butt because they, whatever, they played too cautiously, or they, who knows, right? I mean, it's only awesome if it works out, right? Why do you go for it on fourth and three on your own 40? Well, it's the worst decision ever if you don't get it. If you make it, that coach just needs a raise. Like, that, what a bold move, right? Well, the same thing in golf, and I looked at the board to go, okay, what do I need to do? I knew I wasn't in the number. I knew I was behind. I was thinking, how far behind am I? Do I need to be more aggressive? Because like the kind of golf I play, I'm not a fire every single pin guy. I plod along. I have red light holes, green light holes, and yellow light holes. And there are plenty of opportunities out there in a given day if the golf course is set up properly, to have green light holes. And so anyway, but with nine holes to play, if you're out of it by three, like I was, it's like, well, let's, might need to take a couple more chances. Right. And maybe not play 15 feet left of this back right hole location with water, right. Let's maybe go 5 feet left and be a little more aggressive. And so I did, and I like I made a birdie on a, with a 6-iron on a par 3 with it's a really good par 3. I hit it to 8 feet. Another good birdie, and then like I say, that par 5 that I had an eagle putt to get to 9, and I missed it. But you know, it's it didn't. Yeah, I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know. It didn't work out, so maybe it was the worst thing I could have done. But I don't think so. I mean, it, like I say, I may not have been as aggressive. And maybe not have even got myself to that eight under position, or who knows, maybe I'd have done better. I have no idea. You can't second guess yourself in this game. You just got to go, you know, did I do things wrong? Did I lose my focus? Whatever. Was I too aggressive? Was I too timid? And those are the things I think it's every athlete, every sports figure, everybody who has a job is always trying to learn and get a little bit better. You know, I think, yeah, the day I stop getting better is the day I retire. Or maybe the day I retire is the day I stop getting better. One of the two. I can't remember which comes first.
I think Mark Twain said that first.
I think so.
but anyway, it was sad. Not for me. I mean, I get it. I wanted to get my card. There's no doubt. I felt like, you know, my family probably had a harder time with it than I did. And because, you know, they weren't there and they're watching online and they're like, oh my gosh. And then, oh no. And it's a battle. Right. But I played the PGA Tour for 20 plus years. You know, I played in 12 events last year on the Champions Tour and I made the playoffs. And so I achieved some goals that I didn't even know I had set. But there were a lot of guys there at Q School last week that never have played in a champions event. And that's as close as they're ever going to come to playing in a champions event. And, you know, it's like there's so much excitement leading into the week. And then literally 70, I don't know the math on that, but 5 of 80, right? 5 of 79 leave happy. And the other 74 are from disappointed to, you know, whatever. But it costs a lot of money. It's a lot of energy. But that's what's cool about it, man. They're not giving away free cards. You got to go earn it.
Yeah. Well, it was a noble effort on your part. So what is your status now? You have some, again, like last year, you have some temporary status. You get into some events, you have to ask for sponsors, exemptions, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That, last year I played in the past champion category, which is pretty far down the line in pecking order, right? Which means I'm not going to get in any tournaments on my own. But I have the right to Monday qualify and, you know, write for exemptions. And last year I had two starts, that I was in for sure, the PGA and, the Open Championship over at Sunningdale. And, beyond that, it was qualifiers and writing for exemptions. And I qualified for two. I was exempt for those two and I got 8 sponsor invites last year, which blew my mind because I went the previous year without getting any. And then the first part of last year without getting any, and I was beginning to think like, what am I doing wrong? You know, well, what am I supposed to write these letters? And all of a sudden I got one and I played well. And then I got one the next week and I played well. And then tournament director started noticing, okay, you know, maybe there was a little cautiousness because I was away from the game for 6 years and I ran a belt company. And so if they're like, oh yeah, Stankowski, let me Google him. And they're finding out that, oh, he does belts. And like, what is that going to do for us? Right. And so, but the fact that I played pretty solid golf and every week I seem to play well. I've always been good in pro-ams with the amateurs. I really enjoy, spending 5-6 hours with the amateurs and the pro-ams. And so, you know, maybe word gets around there that I treat these guys well. I don't know.
Interesting though, Paul. I mean, sorry to interrupt, but that's part of the factor is if you're a good guy versus not so good a guy or friendly with the amateurs and the pro-ams and stuff, that factors into the tournament directors inviting you.
You know, Tim, I have no idea. All I know is, you know, maybe because why does good thing happen to good people or to bad people or good people? Right. Why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. It just, it does. And so for me,
oh, I know.
Like I say, I got zero sponsor invites, and then all of a sudden the floodgates opened up, and you know, I had eight very gracious tournament directors that said, yeah, we'd love for you to play in our event. And, you know, I was thankful. I'm honored and blown away at that. So, that's where I sit next year. So last year was past okay. champion category. This year that I made the playoffs, so I'm in a different category, a bump ahead of all the past champions. And so I'll be in that what they call 55 to 72 category, which is those players who finished 55 to 72, which would be the first round of the playoffs. Right. Yeah. You know, I finished 66, I think, on the Schwab Cup points list. So, I still don't think that's going to get me in any tournaments, but I'll be closer. Instead of 20th alternate, I might be 5th or 10th. So I'll be doing the Monday qualifyings. I'll be again sending letters and asking, begging, pleading for spots, and hopefully I can parlay, you know, those opportunities in some good golf and next year not only just make the playoffs, but you know, I'd love to make the final table, right? That top sure. 36 would be pretty amazing. So, you know, I'm going to set the bar a little high. I mean, I think that'd be difficult to do outside of winning, playing for my category. But we're going to go see what happens.
Good for you. Good for you. It was fun to watch. I was keeping track online to see where you're at. It is a grind, as you were saying. It's not easy. And quite honestly, some of the guys I was not that familiar with that you're playing against. But I think it goes to show you, especially including Labritz, the winner. How many good golfers are out there, right? That are.
Yeah, I mean, we see them
50 plus. You know,
no doubt, we see them every Monday and Tuesday in the qualifiers. You know, there's 40 to 50 guys, and a lot of those guys are these guys in the finals, and there's some great players. You know, Brian Cooper's of the world. Like who's Brian Cooper? Well, Brian Cooper he lives in Scottsdale. Really good player. Loads of talent. Harry Rudolph. Who's Harry Rudolph? Harry Rudolph lives in San Diego, and I grew up playing junior golf against him. Hits it a mile. Still a really good player. And Mark Walker, who lives here in Dallas. You know, he never played the PGA Tour, but he played in some. He's Monday qualified. He's Monday qualified for some champions events. He's won tournaments all over the United States on the mini tours. Really good player. And, you know, any given day, those guys can go out and shoot 63. And that's, you know, you get hot. You get your yep. card, parlay that into something cool. So it doesn't, that's the cool thing. I mean, this tour is built around your history. Okay. It's built around to get the pecking order to get in is all about what you did 20 years ago. But to stay out there, like a guy like me, I'm too far outside of career money. I don't have enough career points or wins. You know, I don't have any Champions Tour wins, all that stuff. I'm not getting into any events based on that. So it's truly year to year. And you have to keep like a Tom Gillis of the world, or Wes Short of the world. You got it every year, you got to finish in the top 36 or win, and then you get an extra year, but it's a grind. And, but shoot, man, it's like everybody out there, they're competing, right? They want to win. I played with Bernhard a couple times, and that dude, he is a beast, but he's also a machine, and he doesn't hit it far, but he hits it the right distance every time. And that's why he wins. He makes a few putts too. But, you know, everybody, they're grinding, but yet they're having a blast, right? And yeah. It's friendly. And it's the PGA Tour has changed so much over the years. The PGA Tour Champions is, it's not just some, you know, social hour. These guys, they want to beat each other up. And if you can stay out there for 10 years, you make one, make a pretty good living. But it's a pretty good lifestyle too.
Well, it was again fun to watch to see what you did, and I think you are going to get your exemptions. And you know what? If it doesn't have to be lightning striking, but if everything falls into place and you either win, get a top five event, you were tied for 14th at this event. You only missed by three, so you were right there. I think for your self confidence to say, I know I can do this, and yeah, a few mistakes here and there could have changed things around. Before I let you go, and I know you got a doctor's appointment you got to get to, I did want to check on, and Frank and I are going to talk about this when you leave, but the PNC Championship, we're talking, Tiger's going to play with his son, Charlie. It's a fun, I don't know if it's necessarily hit and giggle, but because everybody gets competitive. But my thought is, my question is, it's only been 11 months since his accident, which was a horrific accident that we all remember back at Genesis. Is it too soon? Is Tiger sometimes his own worst enemy? It seems like he has been, and he's had a lot of self-inflicted wounds, if you will, for overworking out, overdoing things, the knee, the back, and everything else that's going along. Just in your opinion, I know you don't have medical degree from UTEP. I don't think you do. Is it too soon? Are you worried that Tiger's like, okay, let's take your time? I mean, it's only been not even been a year since you were in that terrible car accident.
Well, I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express recently, so I do have a little.
Dr. Stankowski in the house.
Yeah. I would say absolutely if it's his back, right? The back is a different animal. It's his leg, and he's going to get to ride in a cart. He's not sitting there grinding on the reins, going, "Oh, we want to win this thing." This is not the Masters. Let me just tell you, right? So this is a fun event. This is about a dad playing with his son, and. Yeah. That's it. Does he have the endurance yet to play? Not only to play four rounds in a row, because when you play on the PGA Tour, you're not playing four rounds in a row. You're playing five because you're in the Pro-Am on Wednesday. And then he doesn't play back-to-back-to-back weeks, but you're still grinding every day on the range leading up to that. So he didn't have the endurance. His leg doesn't have the endurance. I'm sure it still swells up a little bit when he gives a little too much. So he's pretty tuned into his body. He wouldn't play if he didn't think he could actually go out there and you know, walk around a little bit, you know, swing his 80%, which is what he's doing, maybe even less than that. Apparently he's hitting it really short because he still can't load into that foot as well. He can't push off as well. So there are things there that are going to deter him from being the Tiger Woods that we've all grown to know on the golf course. But this is about Charlie. Watching some of the Instagram and social media hits with him, and the one where somebody paired Tiger and Charlie swing together and their mannerisms and they timed it up. And it was cool to watch Tiger's reaction to those. He's a dad, right? It's a different Tiger Woods than like I say, the Tiger of the 90s and early 2000s. He's a dad. We saw it when he won the Masters, and that 2 minutes of just TV gold, sports TV gold, of him celebrating with his family, and that's awesome. So this, I'm excited. I'll be tuned in to watch. I think it's cool as a dad getting to play with my son. I got to work with my son. He caddied for me this summer. That's a joy, and it's a completely different feeling, I think, for Tiger. I think he's embraced it. It looks like he's embracing it big time. This is not, like I say, this is not him coming back and playing professional golf. This is him playing in a little father-son gig at the local club. Fortunately, it's on TV and they get paid some money, but 2 days in a cart. I think it's awesome. I can't wait for him to play. I hope he plays the Genesis, which would be the 1 year anniversary, right? Of the accident. And if not, we know that he's gearing up for that tournament in April over there in Augusta.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays. And you're right. If he has fun and smiles, which he seemed like he really did last year, and had a good time with his son, then yeah. I mean, I do agree. I hope again. He seems like he's gotten so big again. Frank and I have talked about this in the last show. How big. Upper body. He looks like he's really put on. And I'm like, okay, are you putting too much weight on? I don't know. But anyway, we'll watch and we'll find out. And I guess time will tell. See what happens. Stanky, we appreciate your time.
Excited, buddy. Everyone's excited. Everybody be dialed in. This is awesome. Gives us more things to talk about golf. So very cool. Perfect. And hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you guys choose to celebrate.
Absolutely.
And enjoy this weather in Dallas. I mean, it's 70 something degrees again today. It's December. It's just crazy. I love this global warming thing. It's awesome.
It's really helping my golf game.
And you're from California, man.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, hey, Paul, listen, all the best to you in the coming year. And you said it earlier. I didn't jump in, but I want to right now before you go. In being around tournament directors a lot, we have them on the show a lot and all that. And you know as well as I do, I'm saying something you guys already know. Those tournament directors get a lot of feedback from the boys who pay lots of money to get to play with a pro and a PGA Tour or PGA Tour Champions Pro-Am. And that feedback, you're one of the good guys, is my point, Paul, And that feedback coming to that tournament director helps a lot.
Yeah,
it really does. And you are one of the good guys out there. So we wish you the best in 2022. And I know you're going to have a great year.
And just as a reference, Paul, I never get invited back. I never did. So
well, I can understand that.
That's the difference.
But that's because you hit too many spectators.
Oh, I abused my playing partners so badly that they don't even finish nine holes by the time I'm like, what? What's wrong?
He just got released from jail in Jamaica. What are you talking about?
It was a joke. It was a joke. You didn't get it?
We got it.
Mr. Matthews, you're going to have to leave now. All right, Paul.
Boys,
take care, buddy.
Hey, you guys are having way too much fun. You guys have a good day.
Merry Christmas, Paul, to you and your family.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
Take care. See you later. Bye. Paul Stankowski. Yeah, it was a tough one. I mean, that's 2 years, not consecutive years because of COVID, 19 and 21, but two straight Q schools where he's altered at the end, right? And just parring in and keeping it at eight. I think he gets into that playoff, right? He gets in with five or six other guys trying for that last.
Yeah.
It would have, you know, but
well,
that's.
You said it, though, Tim.
So tough.
You and I both were watching it, following him, and we were both like, come on, Paul. Come on. No.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's harder on the people who are your friends and your family than it is on the player out there.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, in 19, he didn't say this, I didn't want to bring it up, but I think in 19, where he missed by two shots, I think he double bogeyed the final hole.
He did, yeah.
You know, if I remember.
I think
it was
you're right.
Like, oh, my God, really? I mean, again, you could tie and still lose after that, but at least, you know, you didn't finish like that with a flat tire, you know, trying to get across the finish line. So, anyway, maybe it's next year.
I want to back up before we take a break and cover one thing. I said I hate that golf course. It's always been in bad shape, talking about TPC Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I've played that golf course a lot. I spent a couple of years or several years in Tampa. And I want to say this, honestly.
Yeah,
10 years, one summer. It's a great layout. It really is. And I don't want to hammer it because I want people to play it. But
if you don't like the condition, if you say it's not in good shape, then you're doing people a favor too.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, they need to step up their game.
Everybody, our course, you know, is not as perfect as it usually is. And I'm sure yours, all of them are the same way. Although last time I was at French Lick, of course, it was dead solid perfect.
Pristine.
But getting, it is. It always is up there. You know that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get help. It's hard to get labor, and that's part of the problem too. So not to blame the people at TPC at the TPC courses for this.
Just be honest. Be honest. That's all we're asking of you.
I'm just trying to slide backwards here, so I don't hammer. You know,
to like everybody. Yeah. You'll never play there again anyway.
Probably
well, you
not.
Won't now for sure.
Of course, I know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bassett. Is this Mr. Bassett?
Is this the Bassett who hammered us on the air?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Know
what? We don't have a tee time for the next 18 years. Call back.
Well, then I'll be in the Art Selinger Club of getting a letter saying you can never play here again.
How bad was that?
That's terrible.
Was it Turnberry or something?
It wasn't Turnberry. It was Carnoustie, wasn't it?
Was it Carnoustie? Somewhere him and his brother. That's a great story. I got to get Art on tell that one.
That's a good story.
A classic story. Because they were trying to play just to get Art's reputation somewhat unscaled here. It was because I think they were playing the wrong tees. They were playing way back because they're both long hitters at the time. This is 25 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And they wanted to play way back there. And they were told kind of not to, but they were going, well, darn it, we want to go back there. So they did, apparently, because they're not hacks. They're both very good golfers. It wasn't like they chewed up the course like I would have done. And so they got so angry at Art and his brother for apparently violating that they wrote him up, put a letter in the mail, sent a letter to, wasn't it to the USGA and everybody else too?
I mean,
it's like they wanted everybody to know that there's a big X over Art's face. Anytime you see Art qualifying or going somewhere to play an event, it'd be like an X across. Don't invite him.
You're no longer welcome here, sir.
Yeah,
it's kind of like at a tour event when you have your credentials on and there's a board beside the security guy that has all the credentials that can come in, and then the ones that can't, there's an X through them, right? That was Art's face. Got an X. Can't come back.
Yeah. See you later.
He can't go home.
Coming.
Oh, anyway.
It's a great story, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That is a great story.
He's just like, hey, you little Englishman, you can't hit it far enough. We can, guys from America here, and I'm sure that didn't help, right? Being a couple of American cocky guys.
Of course, yeah.
Saying, well, we want to play from 7,900 yards.
I want to get Art.
Not made to play 7,900 yards.
I want to get Art up to French Lick and played at 8,102 and watch him.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Oh yeah.
Art's not as long anymore though. He only hits that three wood about.
Well, he can bring Jamie.
295.
Sadlowski can do it. for sure.
Jamie would be crazy there.
Oh, God, he's crazy long. And he's not a big guy. That's what, you know, he's just got a lot of power.
Get an update on Jamie, too. That's another guy. I mean, it's just like Paul in the sense of trying to make a living at this stupid game. It's hard to do, right? They're both very, very good golfers.
Yeah.
In Jamie's case, he's crazy long distance-wise. It still doesn't put him in the tournaments. It doesn't get him on the tour. I mean, it's just so competitive out there. For all those people that used to think, not so much anymore, but used to think, oh, you're playing on the senior tour. If you're a good player at Bushwood in your local town in Omaha, you can probably be on the senior. That's what they used to think.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh, my God.
No way.
It's not even close.
Hey, I mean, Tim, before we take a break, I want to tell you about something. And it's a new podcast out there called The Recount.
Yes.
That are friends of ours, whatever. It's LZ Granderson. He's formerly of ESPN, now an op-ed columnist for the LA Times, and he's a political contributor to ABC News, and Will Lech, founder of the late website Deadspin, a contributing editor at New York Magazine, and the author of How Lucky, bring your soon-to-be favorite sports podcast, The Long Game with LZ and Leach, to life. The Long Game with LZ and Leach covers the intersection of sports, culture, and politics from vaccination hesitation to online betting to all of the isms and phobias we've come to know.
Wow.
Sports not only reflect our culture, but it drives our culture. Sounds a lot like us, right? New episodes of their podcast are out every Wednesday. So I'm asking everybody, please head to therecount.com or your preferred podcast platform to listen to the most recent episode of The Recast with LZ and Leach. Good guys. It's a good good podcast, and we wanted to put a plug in and try to help them out. So,
now that's two podcasts, Golf Talk America and their podcast that people should listen to.
People should listen to. Listen to us and them. But, you know, they're the intersection of sports, culture, and politics, and we're the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment, and food, and wine, and alcohol, and
beaches.
Beaches, and Jamaica, and, you know. A beer star, and are you allowed to go back down there to Jamaica after that?
I actually am. Yes, hey. I actually was very friendly and very nice and respectful of everything in Jamaica.
That's good.
Yeah, it was very, very
fun. It was a lot of fun talking to you guys by the pool that day with two
John
drinks
Cochran.
In each hand.
Yeah, Cochran was his name.
Cochran,
He's a golf instructor, teacher, and worked on my game, and he's up in Toronto, and then he's also at Old Cypress, which is a golf course in Naples, Florida.
That's a great course, too.
And he puts on golf schools and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, John, seriously, every time he'd say that, people would look at him and go, you're Johnny Cochran? He'd go, okay, it's not Johnny, it's John Cochran.
John Cochran. Johnny Cochran's dead.
Yeah, it's like, not Johnny.
Hey, but guess what, by the way?
What?
I've been invited to play two places. That's kind of cool. Just
can we
recently.
Can we wait till after the break and talk about it?
Yeah, let's take a break. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I gotta do something here. My sinuses are driving me crazy, and I'm about ready to
gotta
sneeze.
Get the birds out of the room, and
I gotta close my sanctuary off here because it's like I'm Dr. Doolittle. I've got deer and elk and birds coming in my.
No, it's more like
here,
what was that movie with the Val Kilmer who was the doctor? The Island of Dr. Moran or Murray or whatever.
That's a scary one.
That's a scary flick.
That's not a fun picture to think about. Why would you paint that picture on me?
Oh, just trying to help.
He had all these people. Wasn't the movie where everybody was like a hybrid?
Yeah.
Kind of trying to put a monkey with a giraffe.
And his daughter was beautiful and turned her into half monkey or something.
Yeah, when he came out. Yeah, it was a terrible movie.
Oh.
Don't ever go on. No,
I like that movie. It was
scary.
Entertaining,
but it was weird. It was like, man, beast movie.
We're
going to take a break.
Reminded me a lot of one of the sorority houses at Old. Never mind. I won't say it.
Don't. It's like Joe Pesci.
Don't.
You're listening to Golf Talk America. God only knows what we're going to talk about when we come back, but Frank and I will return right after this.
Hey, it's Neil Michaels, Director of Sales for Golf Talk America. Frank and I were talking the other day about the fact that there doesn't seem to be comfortable shirts and shorts for golfers that also hike and work out. Then I found out about 10,000, and now I'm a huge fan. 10,000 makes the highest quality, best-fitting, most comfortable training shorts I've ever worn. I've personally been wearing their 7-inch interval shorts to hike and their versatile shirt for all kinds of workouts, even at the driving range. 10,000 has gear for all types of workouts, from running to hiking, lifting to boxing, however you train. And with the holidays just around the corner, 10,000 gear makes a great gift for any fitness enthusiast in your life. This Christmas, I'm buying some for my son, the gym rat, and for my stepson, the hiker. Ugh. I hope Santa didn't give away any secrets just then. 10,000 is offering listeners of Golf Talk America 15% off your purchase right now. Just go to 10,000.cc and enter the code GOLFTALK to receive 15% off your purchase. That's 10,000.cc, not .com, and enter the code GOLFTALK for a huge 15% off today. In life, we're all bound for different things. With BeachBound.com, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. BeachBound is an online travel agency with expertise in worldwide beach vacations and experiences. They're reinventing beach travel. With BeachBound.com, customers can book worldwide beach vacations that include flights, hotels, transfers, and excursions. They're a one-stop travel shop. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at a poolside bar. Hey, as long as I have a great view and a cold drink in my hand, I'm as happy as I can be. With BeachBound.com, you can find your perfect beach vacation worldwide because there's a beach out there waiting for you with BeachBound.com. Visit BeachBound.com to book your next beach vacation. That's BeachBound.com. What are you bound for?
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett as we're talking a little bit about the upcoming weekend's events, the fun, if you will, tournament of PNC Championship, where the father-son, let's just say sibling, I think there have been grandkids, I think there have been granddaughters.
Zeller's daughter, Fuzzy's daughter, has always played with
them. Has there been brothers playing in this? It seems like there's been a lot of different combinations.
I don't remember that, if you will. But I do know Fuzzy and his daughter.
I think Hale Irwin one time played with his nephew, probably because he was better than his son.
throw the kid under the bus.
It's not Hale Irwin. It was somebody else, but it was somebody.
You'll take nothing and like it.
It's like, why are you playing with your nephew? Well, because he's scratch. Yeah. My son is at 9, so yeah, I'm going to step over him. Hey, by the way, news, Frank, you and I both get into our NFL teams. You're in Nashville, I'm in Dallas.
Yep.
Both of them kind of heading that
Jacksonville?
Way. Jacksonville? Do you see the big news in your old hometown of Jacksonville there?
I did.
Wow, Urban Meyer.
It's about time.
I think
out of his league, baby.
It's crazy how fast that happened. I mean, here's a guy, and I'm not at all sympathetic because I've never really liked Urban Meyer, and I've always thought the guy is so rough around the edges. But in college, you kind of get away with it because you're a bit insulated, right? You're still more of a father figure. You're an older man, and they're all 18, 19-year-old kids. You get to play, going to the pros, they don't take your crap so much, right? And they're grown men, and they're making a lot of money. Most of them are making more money than you're making. So it's a different ballgame. And the same tactics, the same attitude, the same roughness doesn't. And so yesterday comes out that his former kicker accused him of kicking him.
Yes.
While he was doing some stretching and yelling at him for missing kicks, he denies and denies everything. But it's just been one thing after another. Oh, by the way, they've won 2 games, right? I mean,
and
were suddenly Arizona. You wonder what would have happened, right? If they were 11 and 2, would it be a difference? I don't know. But they're terrible.
Well,
so Urban Meyer gone.
Well, he also mismanaged his quarterback. We won't get into all that. We need Earl Forsey on to talk about that. But you know, I'm glad. Nothing against him personally. I mean, okay, goodbye. You know, the incident in the bar and not flying back with the team after the loss. Yeah. You know, that's bull crap is what it is.
Yeah.
So he doesn't.
But I think he thought he was insulated. I think he thought he got a 5-year, $50 million contract or something, right?
I don't know.
Stupid money.
It was over his head.
So he's like, okay, well, I can do anything I want to do. And I think I don't know if he'll ever coach again. This is such a black mark on him.
Well, that situation in the bar was a huge black mark, too.
Yes. Yeah. Where he was just flirting with women, not his wife, right? Let's just put it that way. You didn't see it, but probably everybody has. And that certainly set a bad tone for the ownership and everything else. Go, whoa, wait a minute. What do we do?
The team plane goes back and he doesn't fly back with him?
You didn't fly back. You want to stay at your bar. He has a bar in Columbus, right? Urban's whatever. So he wanted to promote and make money from his. And you're like, and I'm sure the owner is probably going, so you're saying the $50 million isn't enough? You had to go promote your own bar to make some more money? So. Everything he seemed to do was just the wrong move. Almost everything he did was the wrong move, including the personnel and the way that they were used. So that's the one headline coming out from today. So we'll see what happens. Here's my last thought on while we're in college football before we say goodbye. Who do you like in the college playoffs? You got Alabama, Georgia. Cincinnati, Michigan, Georgia.
Georgia.
Which you like Georgia overall, and so you like Alabama, yes, or Cincinnati to play against them in the championship?
Alabama.
Yeah. Are you pulling for Cincinnati at all? Like, are you?
No.
I'm the kind of guy who goes, I would love an upset like that.
Well,
I'm not a
you know what?
Fan, so I'd love to see Cincinnati do the miracle, maybe, but do it.
You know? It would be cool. You know, to be honest, it would be kind of neat to see that. Everybody hates Alabama because, you know, they just win and win, and then they win. Of course, then they win again.
Yeah.
And what's so funny is Saban's not the highest paid college football coach anymore.
Well, you wonder, though. I think he's got a wording in his contract that he'll never be lower than like 2 or something like that, because I think Harbaugh came in, whatever it was now, 6 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Harbaugh made more, and I think Saban got like $1 million raise
yeah.
to go above Harbaugh. So now you've got Brian Kelly, $95 million.
That's just, that's ridiculous.
You have Jimbo Fisher, you have all these other guys. And what's, I think maybe the highest now is Lincoln Riley, go to USC. I
yeah.
think he got
yes.
10 years, $120 million.
Yeah. Those guys, why can't those guys help some of these people who need to pay off their student loans? They need to help those kids out. Yeah.
Wow.
Hello?
That is, yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's a reach. Oh, hell no, it's not going to happen.
That is, and you know what? You can't argue. I mean, look what, he's only won Heisman's. He's won national championships. He recruits out the yin-yang every time they got the best players and stuff. So if you are an Alabama person, I guess the boosters always have to dig in their pockets and go, okay, now the number's $12 million a year.
Trust me, there's
another 2 to pay to get him higher than Lincoln Riley.
That Alabama fan base is pretty deep.
Yeah,
it's pretty deep.
Well, the boosters are kind
of
what keeps us going.
Money.
That's where, like, Texas did really well this year in recruiting, which they shouldn't have because they're 5-7.
Terrible.
And you're like, well, how did they recruit? Well, they just announced that they're going to pay all scholarship linemen $50,000. We all know that you can get paid now, and you can do advertising and different things for money. They got $50,000 for all scholarship linemen at Texas. Right after that happened, Frank, they got 3, like 4-star, 5-star recruit linemen signing at Texas.
It's over. It's over.
How it happens. Yeah.
College football, as we know it, is over.
Everybody can't do that, right? The Texas and the Alabamas, most of the SECs, they can do it, but not everybody can do it.
No.
And so if you can't, then if you're a lineman going, well, I can play here and maybe go to the pros and do all the. And, oh, by the way, they're going to give me $50,000 or $100,000. The quarterback who never played for Ohio State, right, yours, who transferred to Texas, made over $1 million sitting on the bench at Ohio State for his image and likeness. Why would you say no to that stuff? So, yeah, it's the rich get richer, literally, in college football. The rich are going to get richer. So,
well, I'm pulling for my Rebels in the Sugar Bowl, and that's all that matters to me right now.
I'm pulling for my Irish. In the, or the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, Fiesta. Yeah. Fiesta Bowl, that's a fun game. That's a fun game.
So.
Nice weather. It's fun. You going to go?
Nope, I won't go. There's 5 bowl games here in Texas. I feel bad for SMU. Not in Texas, in North Texas, around Dallas-Fort Worth. And SMU always goes to, laugh. They always go to a bowl game that's based in Dallas.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, well, can't we go to
Florida?
Can't we go to Ohio somewhere that we get?
So who wants to go to Ohio? What's in Ohio?
I'm just saying. You get to go somewhere, right?
Well, Firestone Country Club's in Ohio, and it's a great track, by the way. So.
No, by the way. Sorry. But, yeah, it's a
shout out to them.
We'll see what happens. Shout out.
It's a Club Corp property, so if you're a member of Club Corp, you're a member of all of them, you can go play Firestone.
You can. Think about that.
Yeah.
And there's others like Firestone that are big-name golf courses. I mean, there's a lot of, not lesser as in, as far as the upkeep of the course, but lesser known golf courses in the Club Corp portfolio, because they have
some big ones,
250, 300 golf clubs.
300,
it's a lot of them. But
and
there
we appreciate
are the
them.
Occasional Firestones that are just spectacular.
Firestone was spectacular. Tommy Moore, who's the director of golf operations there, head golf pro, what a great guy. Jay Walkenstein, who's the GM there, is just, they treated us so well. It was unbelievable. And the swag bag we walked away with, they brought a few of us media types up there.
Did you play PNC or PNG clubs?
PXG. I played PXG. Yeah,
wow.
Played PXG clubs. They were brand new, had just come in, and Tommy said, I want you to play these. I first
you
person
liked them,
to,
right?
I did like them. I really did.
But you didn't like the price tag.
Well, you know, I don't know.
You tried to steal them, Frank. Be honest. Tell the people.
I did try to steal them. I did.
You were slamming your trunk, and then, Frank, Mr. Bassett. What? Those are our clubs. Oh, I'm sorry. I totally forgot.
Oh, gosh, I forgot they were loaners.
I'm sorry about that. You thought you were halfway to the airport.
Yeah, and they gave me back my top flights. And
they called you back, yeah.
Right.
So here's your clubs.
By the way, Titleist need new sticks. Titleist. New ones. PXG. PXG, by the way, if you're listening, hello, call us. You need to.
Yeah.
I've been totally fitted for them. I love them.
I will say this, Frank. Next time we play, and I don't know when that's going to be. We'll see what our schedules merge here. We talked about Orlando, maybe going to Orlando for the PGA Super Show there.
Merchandise show, whatever.
Merchandise. Yeah. But then again, a lot of people aren't going to be there. So we'll see how that all plays out if we end up going or not. But next time we play, you'll see what John Cochran, bring him up again, the guy I played with in Jamaica, what he helped me with. And I'm loving my swing. It's not always working the way I want it to, but I know the misses, which are always going to be left. I've got a pretty good system of what I need to do, and practice swing, and then go up. And I'm telling you, I played a couple of days ago with just some friends, Burton and some other guys.
You play with Gilliam?
I did, and it was a lot of fun. And I hit some really nice shots. I mean, I just hit the ball more solid. I was not hitting it well. So my point to all that is, I think for all people, whether it's at a club corp or anywhere else, get a couple of lessons. Go somewhere where somebody really knows, and they can look at your grip, your stance, a lot of different things that we all get into bad habits. I used to have a better grip. And then you just got lazy, or you get a back pain, and so you kind of adjust. And next thing you know, you're not hitting it very well. And now I'm back to hitting it like I like to hit it. So pretty exciting.
I'm looking forward to we enjoy playing together. You're a good player. So we'll kid you and all that, but you're a solid player. You always have been.
It's fun.
And we have fun together. So I want to come out and play. Go play with Steve E. Johnson.
We'll do it. We'll go play Trinity Forest. By the way,
love to play Trinity Forest.
Love to.
Maybe we can get some of the boys out there to play with us.
Fred Perpall is the new upcoming president of the USGA. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did.
He's a Dallas guy.
And yes.
He plays out at Trinity Forest. He's at Dallas Country Club as well. But I played with him at Trinity Forest. He's actually in the locker room at Trinity Forest in that, I don't know what they call it, but I'm going to call it the famous intersection where the locker room comes together, where the lockers meet in a corner. And in that corner is George W., Spieth, Harrison Frazier, Fred Perpall, who else is it? Tony Romo.
Maybe he can get me a signed picture
from
W.
All these guys are in the same little corner there, of the locker room that you... Yeah, maybe he can help. But congratulations to Fred. That's a good thing. Fred,
we need to get him on the show and talk about what he's going to do and how he's going to just make Mike Wann's life wonderful. Because
he will be the first ever black president of the SGA.
Yep.
Very cool.
That is very cool. And you know what? From what I've heard about him and what I know about Mike Wann, he's been a great friend to this show. Mike Wann, it's going to be – the USGA is going to be reformed. It's going to be better. A kinder, gentler USGA.
I think. I think it has been a bit of a bumpy ride for a while.
Yeah.
And not always fan-friendly, not always player-friendly.
No.
Right? We've seen some of the rulings. We've seen some of the things that have made people go, what? And so I think to
Shingles?
Get all that straightened out and be more, as you said, friendly and be more transparent even. You know, it always seemed like there was kind of a shroud over it, like, we're going to make a ruling. We're going to go into... And then we're going to come out and tell you the ruling, but we're not, you know, and you're like, come on, let's just golf. Let's just have fun and enjoy it. So I think Fred will be perfect for that. It'd be a lot of fun. So, all right, we're done here, Frank. I've got to do some work here.
You got to go somewhere? Got to do something?
I got to take my nephew to the airport. I've got to take some medicine for my sinus infection. And then I got to go lay on a couch somewhere.
Shout out real quick to our friends at French Lick, FrenchLick.com. Folks, go there, check it out. It's a true bucket list experience. You got to go to French Lick, West Baden Springs Hotel, the French Lick Resort Hotel, the
casino.
The new towers that they built, just gorgeous rooms over by the casino. And the Pete Dye course, the Donald Ross course. Of course, Pete Dye is closed right now, but you can still go up to the mansion and go to the pro shop there and check it all out. But the Donald Ross course is incredible. The town, fabulous.
And you can eat at Larry Bird's restaurant.
Yeah, you can. Right across the street.
That's Larry Bird's memorabilia.
That's Legends. Really cool. Legends, yeah.
Yep.
Everybody's great up there. Also, shout out to our good buddy, which I know well, Vince Gill. Ran into him at breakfast yesterday and talked to him a little bit about his golf game. He said since he started playing with the Eagles that he hasn't been playing a lot of golf. And so I think it's time for us to go play with Vince again. But Vince is a good stick. He can play. He's a player for sure. But shout out to Vince. Hi, Vince. Best to you. And he said he'd come on the show again, so we need to get him on.
Let's have him.
Have some fun with Vince Gill and his lovely wife, Amy Grant.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have Amy on the show to talk about Vince.
Sure. She loves golf.
She does. She absolutely does. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I played with her that one time, but I was.
Yeah.
But I think she really does enjoy golf, which may be part of their marriage, right? When they got together. How long have they been married now? 20 years?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Shout out also to our friends at Morning Reed.
Oh, my God.
Morning Reed. One more shout out. Come on. At Morning Reed. I talked to Jeff Renzulli, who's general counsel for Buffalo, for Morning Reed.
Yeah.
And he's a member of Concession Club, okay?
Nice.
He invited me to come play Concession with him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to go play that. And, by the way, got another invitation I was going to tell you about.
Yeah.
In May, I will be going to Czechoslovakia.
What? That's not even a country anymore, is it? But go ahead.
Yeah, the Czech Republic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be going to the Czech Republic. They're big into golf, and they're promoting the heck out of it. And so I'm going to go over there and play some golf. So you get to go to Jamaica, and I go to the Czech Republic. I'll probably end up, you know, in a
I will say this, though, Frank.
Slavic prison somewhere.
I don't know where you're going, but I have seen, never been there, but I have seen that they're on is it the Baltic? What sea is part of the Czech Republic on? There are some cities that they say are just gorgeous in the Czech Republic that go back centuries. I mean, people think of Rome, right, and old and Venice and different old country, old-time cities and things. They say in the Czech Republic there are some just gorgeous old 1,000-year-old cities, and some of them right there on the water that are just amazing. So, I think it might be a hidden gem, and maybe your golf course will be kind of in that scenic area. It might be a beautiful place to go.
They're going to have me play several, and entertain me, and I love history, and I love that sort of history. And you know, there was a time when nobody could go there. It was part of the Soviet Union, but
very nice.
So anyway, so that's going to be cool, but I guess you got to go. I got to go.
Yep.
Bogey's been barking the entire time, folks. Thank you for putting up with Bogey the Wonder Dog.
We are done. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Golf Talk America. Check us out, golftalkamerica.com, and follow us on Twitter and everywhere else. Tell your friends to listen to us. Anywhere you find a podcast, you can find us. We'll be there, and join the ever-growing cadre of fans that are listening to Golf Talk America. We do love each and every one of you. For Frank Bassett, thank you to Paul Sankowski for joining us as well. I'm Tim Matthews. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.